This is an iHeart podcast. Guaranteed human.
Why should you listen to Armstrong and Getty On Demand?
We're not boring. A lot of news is boring.
And tedious.
And depressing.
And makes you angry. You don't want to live your life like that.
Hey, I'm Jack Armstrong. He's Joe Getty.
We're Armstrong and Getty.
We try to bring you the truth.
And help you figure out this crazy modern world.
How about something about a comedic tone?
We have a winner.
Yes. Listen to Armstrong and Getty On Demand on the iHeartRadio app,
Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
As America marks its 250th anniversary, we're looking back at 2.5 centuries of rebellion and liberty through the eyes of the heroes who defended it.
The whole thing about this country is freedom. If we're not careful, we could lose that.
On Medal of Honor, Stories of Courage, we bring you the defining moments of valor that went above and beyond the call of duty. Listen to Medal of Honor on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Are our politicians committing treason out in the open? We'll talk about that tonight. We're going to talk about education, why it is so important, why they are after it, and what's happening inside of it. All that, so much more coming up on Armstrong. Let's talk, before we get to the kids and education, let's set it up, if you will. Let's talk a little bit about just basic morality, a moral framework. Children. Maybe you love children. Maybe you can't stand them. Totally fine. But you know that children are important and wonderful, and you would never want to harm one, right? It would never occur to you in any way to harm one. In fact, you probably go out of your way to not do so, even if you can't hurt kids. You're walking on an elevator, there's a little kid there. Hey, don't want to knock him over, don't want to hurt a kid. That's how normal, decent people think about children. But this is, as we start to talk about education here and what the communist has done and is doing and why, this is a huge reason the right still struggles to understand how deep the communist is embedded in education, and more importantly, why. When you look at a child, that's a little girl, a five-year-old girl, she got a big backpack on. You may think, oh, what a sweet-looking child. You may think, oh gosh, I bet she's annoying. But it would never occur to you. It would never even enter your mind, I bet I can use her for the revolution. I bet that if I get to that child, I bet I can use her to destroy the United States of America and burn down everything. Thoughts like that would never cross your mind. You wouldn't want to use her for anything. But it's important to understand that's exactly how the communist views all children, all of them. Every single one, his own, yours, all the children of the world, they're not precious, they're not innocent, they're not people to be protected at all. They are future soldiers of the revolution if they can be recruited and trained in time. And that is why they focus so much on education. They always have. They always will. There are endless quotes I could read you from Lenin talking about, give me 4 years of the nation's youth. Endless quotes I could read it to you. The communist believes children, yours and his, are recruits to be trained for the revolution. If they happen to die, be mutilated, be miserable, none of that matters at all. We have a revolution to fight. We need these child soldiers. I saw a poll actually this morning. It was about Gen Z and how they prefer, quote, socialism to capitalism. And everyone's up in arms. How could this happen? How could this be? They don't understand. Well, where do you think they learned that? Do you remember this little tidbit from Columbia Medical School?
I promise to self-reflect diligently, to confront unconscious prejudices, and to develop the skills, knowledge, and character necessary to engender an inclusive, equitable field of medicine. Let us bow our heads in recognition of the gravity of this oath. We swear to faithfully engage with these ideals and obligations for the ongoing betterment of medicine and humanity.
That wasn't just at some random hippy-dippy college in California. That's Columbia Medical School. Those kids have gone through now, what, 18 years of communist indoctrination? Do you think if someone started you young, 5, 6 years old, you think you could go to a communist training camp for 18 years, starting at that age, and not come out the other side a complete monster? And Democrats, why do you think they're always saying things like this?
Rebecca put a teacher's creed into words when she said, there's no such thing as someone else's child. No such thing as someone else's child. Our nation's children are all our children.
Our nation's children, they're all of our children. It's interesting. Now, Joe Biden, whatever communists were surrounding him, when you teach your children about things like taxes, the role of government, abortion, God, gay marriage, when you're having these discussions with your child, do you think communists like them, they're looking at those discussions and saying, wow, that's nice. They're doing a good thing for our nation's children. Or do you think communists are looking at your child and the lessons you're teaching your child and saying to themselves, well, we got to put a stop to that? That's of course what they're thinking. When you are there trying to impart actual morality, life lessons, wisdom onto your child, the communist is furious about it. The communist understands after 100 years of testing that if your child grows up to be a normal, moral, happy, successful human being, that your child is going to be a very, very difficult person to recruit into the revolution. And the communist also understands that if your child can be broken physically, mentally, spiritually, your child has almost no chance to stand up to recruitment by the revolution. That's why they do what they do. And it takes the form so many times of school teachers, because we have a large government-run education system in this country. We have legions and legions of child predators pretending to be teachers, trying to get into your child's mind. When I say child predators, I'm not just talking about the kiddie diddle kind. I'm talking about the kind of teacher who wants to tear your child's mind and soul apart. When you walk into Aiden, Jaden, and Braden's second grade classroom and you see a gay flag and a Black Lives Matter flag, you are not in a classroom. You are in the presence of a child predator. Libs of TikTok put these teachers up this week.
My name's Teacher Green, and something I like about my classroom is that my students built the trans flag last year.
We have the pleasure of reading a book called Melissa about a transgender fourth grade girl, and it was very impactful for all of us. Afterwards, we built the trans flag using the shapes of our hands.
Does everybody agree with the gender they were assigned?
No.
Some of us, maybe. Some of us might go, yeah, that's definitely me. But some of us might be looking at that paper and going, I'm not a boy, I'm not a girl. And that's exactly how trans people feel. This week is Trans Visibility Week. What does it mean to be visible? Yes, to be seen. Whether or not you agree with transness, trans people do exist. You might not see them every day. You might not even realize it's a trans person at all. That's because they're regular people living regular lives.
Those are not school teachers. I know they got the degree. I know they got the title. Those are child predators. That's what they are. And they are there not to teach your child reading, writing, and arithmetic. They are there to break your child. But it's actually much worse than that. It's not just that there are legions of child predators in our education system trying to shatter your child and destroy the rest of their lives. It's not only that, you see. This, I don't even want to call it a conspiracy, this plot goes all the way to the highest levels. I want to remind you of something. The FBI's in the news. They're in the news a lot for various evil things they did. I just want to remind you of that. And you're aware that we've had quite a recent run of trannies committing mass murder because they're mentally, spiritually broken, often demonically possessed, and they want to kill a bunch of people before killing themselves and finally going to hell. That's what we've been experiencing. I also want you to know that these online tranny, furry, demonic freaks, that they speak to each other quite openly online. They're on all kinds of social media applications, talking violence here, violence there, we should kill them, you should kill them, kill this, kill that, kill them. You know, like I said, it's very demonic stuff. Well, these people were online plotting their various assassinations and mass murders. The Federal Bureau of Investigation was not tearing apart investigating these online violent tranny cells and arresting people before they could do the worst. The FBI was arresting parents who were angry about it.
Mr. Friend, you ever been to a school board meeting?
Yes, I have.
FBI ever sent you to the parking lot of a school board meeting?
Yes, they have.
And in the parking lot of a school board meeting where the FBI sent you, you were taking down information regarding people's license plates.
That's correct.
Now, it wasn't the first time you'd been to a school board meeting, was it?
No, I went on my own as a private citizen.
As a parent?
Yes.
And so there you were. It must have been quite an interesting perspective. There you were taking down the information of people, parents attending school board meetings on behest of the FBI, and you had been one of those parents at a school board meeting. How did that feel?
Well, after I attended privately, my colleagues teased me that they were probably going to start investigating me.
The largest, most powerful federal law enforcement arm in the United States of America exists as a protection racket for the LGBTQ demon mob trying to take away your child's soul. Do you happen to remember in the wake of Charlie Kirk's murder, we had these No Kings protests, these various commie protests around the country? Do you remember this hippopotamus, Chungus?
Hey! You ever heard of Ozempic, you
I know she doesn't look like a predator, or like an elephant, I understand that, but that's a school teacher. A school teacher who still has her job. Do you think that elephant walks into the classroom every single day to teach your child reading, writing, and arithmetic? No, she's there to train a revolutionary, and if you're not careful, your child will become one. All that may have made you uncomfortable, but I am right. We have a huge show for you tonight. So much on tap. Before we get to any of that, why don't we put some chalk on tap for you? Every day for me. Every single day, it's a male vitality stack for me. You should try it. Do you know what it feels like to have your T levels spiking all the time? Clinically tested, 20% increase in your testosterone in 90 days with natural herbal supplements? How can that be? I know the internet has taught you that you have to go get a needle jammed in your arm if you want to fix those low T problems, but those low T problems are not your fault. There's estrogen in our waters, and you don't need a needle jammed in your arm. You need a male vitality stack from Chalk. Go get a subscription. There's a huge Black Friday deal already. Chalk.com/JesseTV. We'll be back.
Why should you listen to Armstrong and Getty on demand?
We're not boring. A lot of news is boring.
And tedious.
And depressing.
And makes you angry. You don't want to live your life like that.
Hey, I'm Jack Armstrong. He's Joe Getty.
We're Armstrong and Getty.
We try to bring you the truth.
And help you figure out this crazy modern world.
About something about a comedic tone.
We have a winner.
Yes. Listen to Armstrong and Getty on demand on the iHeartRadio app,
Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
2026 marks the 250th anniversary of America. The soul of this country is found in the stories of those who defended it. I'm J.R. Martinez, a U.S. Army veteran. I know that true valor isn't just a word. It's a choice made in a split second. That's why I'm honored to bring you a brand new season of Medal of Honor Stories of Courage from Pushkin Industries and iHeart Podcast. You'll fly into the heart of a rescue mission with Air Force pilot James Fleming in Vietnam.
I'm going to put you out in the middle of hell. If you have to come home, I'll bring you home. That's my duty. It's my honor.
We'll also travel back to 1926 to witness Richard Byrd's historic flight over the North Pole. These are more than just stories of combat. They are testaments to leadership, community, and the human spirit. Listen to Medal of Honor on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Let's talk about revolutionaries, Democrats, the system. Let's just have a discussion here. One we've had before, but let's just cover this quickly. You know, as well as I know, that there are two different divisions of communism. You're well aware of this. There always have been, there always will be. There are the elites, the ones who are actually in power, the wealthy, the politicians, the media people. They just care about money and power. Sometimes they're true believers, but they're in the in crowd. And then there are the streets. Elites in the streets. The streets, generally the true believers, the violent nut jobs who throw bricks at people, do terrible things. And they are really the tip of the spear foot soldiers. And here's how it works, as we've talked about so many times. The elites, because they're in charge, they give orders to the streets. The streets act on those orders, but it's a relationship where they work with each other. When the streets get in trouble, the elites step up and protect them. Every time you see a judge let some communist foot soldier go free, that's exactly what you're looking at. The elites give the orders, the streets carry out the orders, the elites then let the streets out of jail, and the process goes on forever. You, of course, are stuck right here in the middle under assault by elite communists and street communists. That is how it works. Now, let's talk about the orders, though. Because how does that work? Everything's so easily traceable, especially today in this digital age. Does Jayapal, that congresswoman, when she wants the streets to go out and kill people, loot things, just basically commit crimes and do all the horrible street animal things that demonic street communists do, does she put that on her website? Hey guys, go kill someone tonight. Is that what she does? Does she send out a mass text? I know you get those horrible texts like I do on your phone. This is a mass text to everybody. Go assault an ICE agent. Send. Does she do that? Of course she can't. Because then you'd get in trouble. She has to charge right up to the line of illegality when she sends the orders out. This is an older video, but I played it for you many times before. I'll play it many again because it's the best example of what I'm talking about. What does it sound like when elite communists give street communists orders? Well, sounds just like this.
We might call this getting strike ready. I think of it as getting us strike ready or street ready. And part of that is understanding our own strength. And as we develop that strength, being able to assess our risk tolerance, because we know that risk tolerance increases as the severity of the situation increases and as our own understanding of what's happening increases. So overall, the more we understand what's effective, what the risks are, and who's ready to participate, the more impact we can.
Doesn't take a genius to figure out what she's saying. Strike ready, street ready. What is our risk tolerance? If she was encouraging legal things, why would there be any risk at all? What is our risk tolerance? And then she even tells them, hey, our risk tolerance has to increase. It's really bad out there. And it's really, really bad out there. That's what it sounds like when elite communists give orders to street communists. That's what it sounds like. Now, it would be one thing if it was just some brain-dead congresswoman from Seattle or just some street professor or something like that at Berkeley, something like that, telling his students to get strike ready and street ready. But the problem is we don't really have a Democrat Party anymore. We have a Communist Revolutionary Party. And you can tell because the orders from elites come from the highest possible levels of the party. It's not just one local guy or a teacher here. The highest possible levels, they say essentially the same thing. I know you've probably seen it or heard it, but I want you to watch this video Democrats put out yesterday, and I want you to keep a couple things in mind. There are Democrat United States senators, multiple senators in this video, and this is not a video that some wonderful undercover journalist on our side did some digging on and found in the dark web. They put this out themselves.
I'm Senator Alyssa Slotkin.
Senator Mark Kelly.
Representative Chris DeLuzio.
Congresswoman Maggie Goodlander.
Representative Chrissy Houlihan.
Congressman Jason Crow.
I was a captain in the United States Navy.
Former CIA officer.
Former Navy.
Former paratrooper and Army Ranger.
Former intelligence officer.
Former Air Force.
We want to speak directly to members of the military
and the intelligence community
who take risks each day
to keep Americans safe.
We know you are under enormous stress and pressure right now.
Americans trust their military.
But that trust is at risk.
This administration is pitting our uniformed military
and intelligence community professionals
against American citizens.
Like us, you all swore an oath
to protect and defend this Constitution.
Right now, the threats to our Constitution aren't just coming from abroad,
but from right here at home.
Our laws are clear. You can refuse illegal orders.
You can refuse illegal orders.
You must refuse illegal orders.
No one has to carry out orders that violate the law
or our Constitution.
We know this is hard
and that it's a difficult time to be a public servant.
But whether you're serving in the CIA,
the Army,
or Navy,
the Air Force,
your vigilance is critical.
And know that we have your back.
Because now, more than ever,
the American people need you.
We need you to stand up for our laws,
our Constitution,
and who we are as Americans. Don't give up.
Don't give up.
Don't give up.
Don't give up the ship.
That is what it sounds like when elite communists encourage street communists to break the law. Only this time they were speaking to CIA agents, Army personnel, Navy personnel, Air Force, the works. We don't have a Democrat Party anymore. It's gone. I'm sorry. JFK's gone. Bill Clinton's gone. There is no Democrat Party now. There's a Communist Revolutionary Party, truly radicalized from the top to the bottom. Keep that in mind. Talk to Tyler O'Neill about that video, what they were saying, and many other things in a moment. Before we talk to Tyler, I know I need some chips after that, because chips make me feel better. They do. I know. I'm a comfort eater. I've accepted that's who I am. When I get stressed, Ob already knows it. When I get stressed, I come home, say hi to everyone, and I go right for the pantry. I got to get some chips. But that's terrible for you if you're eating all those store-bought chips. They're just awful for you. But chips don't have to be awful for you. You know that? Massa chips have three ingredients. There's a reason Massa chips are getting more and more popular. We have probably four or five bags in our house at all times. I can eat them guilt-free. My kids love them. You would think kids would reject that, right? Ew, healthy. They prefer them. You want to be able to eat chips guilt-free? No bloating, no feeling bad about yourself? MassaChips.com/JesseTV saves you a bunch of money. We'll be back.
Why should you listen to Armstrong and Getty On Demand?
We're not boring. A lot of news is boring.
And tedious.
And depressing.
And makes you angry. You don't want to live your life like that.
Hey, I'm Jack Armstrong. He's Joe Getty.
We're Armstrong and Getty.
We try to bring you the truth.
And help you figure out this crazy modern world.
How about something about a comedic tone?
We have a winner.
Yes. Listen to Armstrong and Getty On Demand on the iHeartRadio app,
Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
2026 marks the 250th anniversary of America. The soul of this country is found in the stories of those who defended it. I'm J.R. Martinez, a U.S. Army veteran. I know that true valor isn't just a word. It's a choice made in a split second. That's why I'm honored to bring you a brand new season of Medal of Honor, Stories of Courage from Pushkin Industries and iHeart Podcast. You'll fly into the heart of a rescue mission with Air Force pilot James Fleming in Vietnam.
I'm going to put you out in the middle of hell. If you have to come home, I'll bring you home. That's my duty. It's my honor.
We'll also travel back to 1926 to witness Richard Byrd's historic flight over the North Pole. These are more than just stories of combat. They are testaments to leadership, community, and the human spirit. Listen to Medal of Honor on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Well, there's something we have discussed many times before, and that's how many communists are burrowed deep inside of the United States government, and they don't just sit there and, you know, cash a paycheck and sharpen their pencils all day long. They're revolutionaries working to undermine the United States of America under Republican administrations and Democrat administrations. Someone who is well aware of this little network, Tyler O'Neill, senior editor at the Daily Signal. Tyler, you just did a piece about an ex-Obama staffer. What's this ex-Obama staffer doing in the government?
Yeah, so this guy's name is Brett Cozzolino, and on LinkedIn, he goes by Brett Cozzolino Bahave. But it's the same guy, and we know it's the same guy because of Legistorm, because of some federal documents about his employment. But this guy, you know, he worked in the Obama administration. He worked for the OPM there in the Obama White House, the Office of Personnel Management. And then he spent a few years working with radical left climate activist groups. And these are organizations that, though they don't push the alarm element very much in their messaging, they very much are focused on research from the perspective of carbon emissions are going to doom the planet and we have to prevent them yesterday. And so these climate activist organizations for which Cozzolino worked have a night and day disagreement with the current Trump administration. Yet Cozzolino then went on to work in FERC, the Federal Energy Regulation Commission, and this commission oversees, you know, the energy markets in the United States and abroad. And this commission, you know, he's still in his role at FERC, at least as far as I can tell. When I reached out to FERC, they didn't confirm or deny it. But according to other sources and according to his LinkedIn, which, by the way, as soon as I asked FERC whether he was still at the agency, Cozzolino's LinkedIn disappeared from the internet. So I think that tells you that I was onto something.
Okay. I know I'm asking you a question that's almost impossible to answer, but how many of these types, Tyler, do we believe are still woven throughout our massive federal government doing their evil deeds behind closed doors?
Well, many. And let me be clear, I don't have any evidence that Cozzolino or any of the specific burrowers that I've covered have been working as deep state actors to oppose Trump from within. But it stands to reason, given what they've been doing ahead of time, what they were doing under the Obama administration before they burrowed in, and now what they've been doing in now what they're overseeing in the Trump administration, that if there are cogs in the wheel, these people are probably connected to it. And these burrowers, so what is a burrower? It refers to a person who was politically appointed, often by the previous administration. In this case, we're going all the way back to Obama, who then took a position that's ostensibly non-political in the federal bureaucracy, that's overseeing policy, but who isn't politically appointed by the president. And this is part of an approach to the administrative state that I think is fundamentally wrong-headed. We have this progressive era idea that you can have bureaucrats who will be good public servants regardless of who the president is, and they will just do what is best for the American people, whatever happens. And, you know, there are some people who will do that, but I'm telling you, especially when our politics is as polarized as it is today, you have a lot more people. Bureaucrats are people too, and they tend to have political positions. And there's a really alarming poll that came out earlier this year showing that 75% of the DC-based federal bureaucrats who voted for Kamala Harris in November said they would oppose a Trump order if they considered it bad policy. And this poll highlights that the deep state is a threat, that these people are out there, and it is only a matter of time before some of them actually do act against the president.
Are they already doing it in the military, Tyler? Are they defying Donald Trump's orders on things like DEI?
Well, we don't have evidence that they... Well, actually, what we do have evidence of is a long-term relationship between many parts, many branches of the military, and an activist group, a student. It's called the American School Counselor Association. This group has embraced DEI and CRT and has worked with, you know, they've taken the standards of the Southern Poverty Law Center. The Southern Poverty Law Center, for those who need a brief refresher, puts mainstream conservative and Christian groups on a hate map with chapters of the Klan and raises money by going to their donors, exaggerating hate and saying, we are the premier source in fighting this hate. And they also have an education arm called Learning for Justice. It used to be called Teaching Tolerance. And then around 2020, they decided that tolerance was too tolerant of injustice. So they had to switch to Learning for Justice. And so this program releases student social justice standards for students. And those social justice standards were entirely accepted by the American School Counselor Association. And so this counselor association is pushing DEI, and it's been endorsed many times. It receives federal funding through branches of the military that are sponsoring their annual convention. And it's not just the annual convention of the overall group, it's also the annual conventions of their state chapters that embrace everything that the American School Counselor Association embraces. So I reached out to the Department of War about this, and the Department of War spokesman said, he didn't mince words, he said, what the SPLC's social justice standards are is entirely separate from the ideas and what we believe is in the best interest of the American people. But they did not tell me that these military branches will cease their sponsorship of these annual conventions. So we're going to have to see. I'm going to keep asking these questions. There was an army spokesperson who said that they looked into this, and sponsoring these conventions did not violate any policy. So we're going to have to be, you know, consistent in saying, look, the military, if they stand against these divisive ideologies, they need to not be endorsing groups that stand for these things. And I think this is something we have to keep saying and keep emphasizing, because, you know, President Trump had that excellent executive order saying that his administration opposes DEI, but what we're not seeing the military entirely seeming to follow that. And that's even worse now. I mean, I think you were about to ask me about this one, because this is something really shocking. We saw Democrats calling on members of the military to oppose orders that President Trump gives. And they say, you know, that the military should refuse illegal orders. And these are many Democrats who themselves served in the military. They're saying this in the context of trying to tie Trump's hands and prevent military forces from protecting ICE agents and other federal immigration law enforcement officials while they're carrying out Trump's lawful enforcement of immigration law. And so they're saying, look, military, you need to oppose Trump's illegal orders. And this is in the context of them opposing Trump's legal actions. And then they're acting as though they came back and said, this is not about undermining Trump's authority. This is not about opposing America. There's nothing more patriotic than standing for the law against a reckless commander-in-chief, or so these Democrats have been saying. And to that I say, they know what they're doing. They're encouraging people who may already be predisposed to some degree to oppose the sitting president of the United States to act in rogue ways. Their messages are for the burrowers that I've been exposing. And these Democrats are effectively saying, look, if you're in the administration, you should not follow the elected president's orders because we say they're illegal. But how each specific order is supposedly illegal is anyone's guess.
Tyler, thank you, man. That was awesome. Come back soon, please. We got a lot of stuff to drain. We'll talk to Chip Roy about some things next.
Why should you listen to Armstrong and Getty On Demand?
We're not boring. A lot of news is boring.
And tedious.
And depressing.
And makes you angry. You don't want to live your life like that.
Hey, I'm Jack Armstrong. He's Joe Getty.
We're Armstrong and Getty.
We try to bring you the truth.
And help you figure out this crazy modern world.
How about something about a comedic tone?
We have a winner.
Yes. Listen to Armstrong and Getty On Demand on the iHeartRadio app,
Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
2026 marks the 250th anniversary of America. The soul of this country is found in the stories of those who defended it. I'm J.R. Martinez, a U.S. Army veteran. I know that true valor isn't just a word. It's a choice made in a split second. That's why I'm honored to bring you a brand new season of Medal of Honor, Stories of Courage from Pushkin Industries and iHeart Podcast. You'll fly into the heart of a rescue mission with Air Force pilot James Fleming in Vietnam.
I'm going to put you out in the middle of hell. If you have to come home, I'll bring you home. That's my duty. It's my honor.
We'll also travel back to 1926 to witness Richard Byrd's historic flight over the North Pole. These are more than just stories of combat. They are testaments to leadership, community, and the human spirit. Listen to Medal of Honor on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Well, as I've talked about before many times, and I'm going to keep talking about, I'm not dismissive of the issues you care about or I care about, but we always have to keep in mind issues that actually win and lose us elections. I'm an abortion freak, you know. I'm, you know, how pro-life I am, but that doesn't move people to the polls. That will not decide the midterms. It just won't. You know what will? Inflation and immigration. Donald Trump's in the White House. We have the House and Senate because of inflation and immigration, specifically the American people's anger over those two things. So let's always keep that in mind. In fact, let's talk to Chip about that right now. Joining me now, Congressman from the state of Texas, going to be Attorney General in the state of Texas if all goes well, Congressman Chip Roy. Chip, what is the PAUSE Act?
Well, great to be on, Jesse, and you couldn't be more correct with respect to the issues that are going to matter next year in the election. Inflation and affordability is obviously a huge one, but so is immigration and continuing to do what we said we would do. The president and his team, obviously Tom Homan, Stephen Miller, the secretary, the fine folks at ICE and Border Patrol have been doing a great job stopping the egregious flow at the border. It's basically triage, right? Like, let's just stop the flow, stop the bleeding. And now they're doing a lot of the removals. ICE is engaged. Are we removing as people as fast as you and I would prefer? No, but are we still removing tens of thousands of people? Yes, that's a good thing. Self-deportations are occurring. We're gonna have to keep, you know, following that, studying that, and having oversight to make sure we know how many people are going. But then there's this issue of legal immigration. So you ask about the PAUSE Act. I'm introducing legislation this week that would pause all legal immigration with the exception of short-term tourist visas, to basically say we need to review our entire system from top to bottom. We should make sure that we are fixing the abuses of H-1B visas, which have been extraordinary. We should end diversity and chain migration, the diversity visas and chain migration, which allow for this, you know, cousins and brothers and sisters and extended family members that then piggyback on someone who comes into the United States. We should fix the magnets to the interior of illegal immigration, including Plyler v. Doe, which was a bad decision in the 1980s saying that we must fund illegal aliens in our schools. It was a Texas case. We should end the broken birthright citizenship rule and instead make it to where it's very clear that if you're born to an American citizen, you're a citizen, but not just because you're on American soil, because it's a magnet for people to come here illegally. And importantly, last but not least, we need to continue to explore what I put forward in a separate piece of legislation, vetting people for adherence to Sharia law. We should make sure that the people who are coming here are not adherent to Sharia law. We should remove those who are. And if we do those things and others, frankly, then we can unpause immigration once we fixed it to work right. But we have 51 million people in our country who are foreign born, 16 to 17% of the population. It's higher than it's ever been. We don't have an education system teaching people that America is great. So let's pause. Let's restructure our system. Let's you know, take a deep breath, and let's get American workers back into the workforce. Let's support an America First workforce rather than a corporate-driven one.
Chip, there's so much of that I want to take apart with you. Let's focus on the first part of it, the abuses of the H-1B visa, because so many normies out there who just don't understand, maybe they're not political nerds like you and I are, They hear about H-1B visas, they think, well, these are just some highly trained engineer from Mumbai. Surely we have to have that guy or the United States of America will collapse. We simply won't be able to program Microsoft Word again this year. Is that what all these things are? What abuses are you talking about?
Yeah, first of all, we should also make sure that we've got high-skilled workers that are being created here at home. Okay, so let's start there. And one way to do that is to stop the flow of the corporations bringing people in H-1Bs and improving our education system and increasing the demand so that Americans will do it. But secondly, it's not being used that way. That's a falsehood. H-1Bs are often used for entry-level positions. They are shockingly for large numbers of people that are positions that you would think would be basic positions you could hire any number of Americans for, and they're not. And so that's being abused, and it's being abused heavily by corporations who simply want to be able to bring people in, and they get tax advantage for doing it, and they're undermining the American people from being able to get the employment they deserve. So we need to reform that system. And there are ways to do that. And we've got legislation we're going to be introducing separately to do that. But the PAUSE Act says, pause, fix H-1Bs, fix the other issues I went through a minute ago. And then we can take a breath and decide if we want to reopen legal immigration in a month or two or six or in 5 years. I mean, let's pause. Let's truly pause and take stock of the current state of our country.
What about birthright citizenship, Chip? Yeah. This is something I've heard Trump mention before. I know you've talked about it before. It's just so nakedly absurd that you can sneak across the border and crap out a kid right in the state of Texas, and that kid will be an American citizen, and his 85 kids will be an American citizen forever. It's so ridiculous beyond belief and a gross misinterpretation of an amendment that was made for freed slaves. Are we stuck under this ridiculous ruling forever?
No, I don't believe so. And first of all, let's remember that all we've got is one opinion that was not dispositive on the issue generally from the 1890s that frankly got it wrong and misinterpreted the previous Supreme Court rulings in a way that I think is bearing a false notion that this is even a thing. Right now, the president is right with his executive order to say that there is no such thing as birthright citizenship from the standpoint of being a citizen just because you came here and were born here, but rather that you are considered a citizen if you are born of an American citizen. Congress should state that clearly. We should make sure that we, you know, get that and fight the courts to make sure that that's the law. That would be the law. I think the court would uphold that because the Constitution does not conflict with that in the slightest bit. And I think it's common sense. If you ask the average American, they'd say, yeah, if you're born an American citizen, you're a citizen. But, you know, if you're born on American soil, just because, as you noted, somebody just comes across the border, has a kid in our hospital that we're paying for, and then suddenly they're a citizen, or, you know, the Chinese communists have, you know, corporate machines that they use for profit centers to fly people over here, have babies, and then get this Chinese national American citizenship, that's absurd. And look, I asked a Democrat witness in a hearing today that we had on the census. We should have a whole nother segment on the census and how badly it was done in 2020 and how skewed it is to blue states and liberal jurisdictions. But I asked the Democrat witness to be clear, if 75 million people flooded into California illegally, you think they should be counted? They should be counted for census purposes and therefore apportionment, and therefore California should get 100 new representatives. That Democrat witness said, yeah, that's what the Constitution says, which is totally bogus, not true, but that's what they think. They want that so they can, you know, beef up their representation, and that's exactly what happened after the last census. We're down at least 10 to 15 seats just because of stupidity in the census.
Speaking of people pouring into our country and changing the country, we have the Muslim Call to Prayer 5 days a week in Dearborn, Michigan. The American people are slowly starting to wake up to the fact that we have an Islamist problem in this country, and what in the world are we going to do about it, Chip?
Yeah, Jesse, look, this is actually probably the number one reason that I'm running for Attorney General of Texas, is we've got to take immediate action to defend Texas, because it's not just Dearborn, it's not just Minneapolis, it's not just London and Paris, it's not just Mamdani in New York, it's Texas. And it's Texas not just because of what you're hearing in the headlines of Epic City up in Plano, or the new Islamic Center down in Houston where you are, which is, what, 150,000 square foot, you know, monstrosity. It's 300 mosques across the state of Texas. It's good friends of mine in Plano that are also listening to those prayer calls coming out of a mosque in Plano, Texas, just north of Dallas. This is real. It's concerted. It's funded by the left. It's funded by Arabella, you know, Democrat operatives, the Soros funding groups, the Bill Gates Foundation, all of these outside groups. All of it's related. The same people that are pushing, you know, the Soros DAs, the leftist DAs, a lot of them are pushing this Islamification of Texas because it's the red-green, it's the Marxist-Islamist alliance that you see in Mamdani. They've got a plan, and we can't win a war we're not willing to recognize exists. I recognize it exists. I've introduced legislation to take away the tax status for CARE, the Council on American Islamic Relations. I've introduced legislation to vet people for Sharia law. I've introduced the bill, or I'm going to introduce this week, to pause immigration while we make sure we do, in fact, vet it. And we've got to then go after the money, follow the money, knock the knees out from under it, and stop hiding behind the First Amendment. This is a political movement. They want to take over our country. They want to undermine Western civilization. And I'm not going to apologize for it. I'm a proud Christian. I love this country. And we got to stand up and defend it and stop hiding behind the First Amendment to allow the takeover of our country.
Finally, before I let you go, Chip, we started out talking about it. Affordability. I know that we have a bunch of loser weenies in the Senate and a very slim majority in the House. We do have midterms coming up a year from now. And if burger's still $6 a pound, we're going to get our clocks clean. Is there anything we can do about affordability realistically that we're not doing now? What should we be doing?
Yeah, first of all, we've got to allow some of the policies that we implemented in the Big Beautiful Bill, cutting taxes, getting the economy going, get everything revving. We're going to have to unwind, and some of that takes time. So part of it is just being really confident in going out and campaigning that we're doing the hard work and the president's doing a good job. But we also need to pass more legislation. We either need to blow up the filibuster and pass it in the Senate, or we need to use reconciliation again. But we can't just sit on the sidelines. We've got to pass real legislation. The president is right. We got to deal with housing affordability. Stop letting private equity and financial shops and foreigners buy up our housing stock. That would be a really good, effective way to immediately increase housing supply. Number two, let's make sure that we're going after the affordability with respect to healthcare. Just massively change the system to get us out from under the broken Obamacare system by expanding health savings accounts, equalizing the tax treatment for everybody so that you get the same tax break that big corporations get. Stop funneling subsidies to insurance companies. Empower patients to be able to go to doctors of their choice. We can do that. We have all the legislation. We just have to go do it. But stop running away in fear and go on offense. And finally, you want to deal with groceries. You've just got to make sure that we're creating competition and that we're making sure that we're growing more stuff here at home. We should stop allowing the Chinese communists to own our farms and our ranches and our meatpacking facilities, free up our local farmers to get more stuff directly to market. And then once you do all that and get the economy going, we'll be in good shape. But we've got to address affordability, because right now, healthcare is consuming about a third of our government resources and huge chunks of the average American family's budget. So we got to make those changes, and we can, and we should, but it takes boldness among people here in Congress to do it.
Thank you, Chip. Come back soon, brother. Light in the Moon, next.
Why should you listen to Armstrong and Getty On Demand?
We're not boring. A lot of news is boring.
And tedious.
And depressing.
And makes you angry. You don't want to live your life like that.
Hey, I'm Jack Armstrong. He's Joe Getty.
We're Armstrong and Getty.
We try to bring you the truth.
And help you figure out this crazy modern world.
How about something about a comedic tone?
We have a winner.
Yes. Listen to Armstrong and Getty On Demand on the iHeartRadio app,
Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
2026 marks the 250th anniversary of America. The soul of this country is found in the stories of those who defended it. I'm J.R. Martinez, a U.S. Army veteran. I know that true valor isn't just a word. It's a choice made in a split second. That's why I'm honored to bring you a brand new season of Medal of Honor Stories of Courage from Pushkin Industries and iHeart Podcast. You'll fly into the heart of a rescue mission with Air Force pilot James Fleming in Vietnam.
I'm going to put you out in the middle of hell. If you have to come home, I'll bring you home. That's my duty. It's my honor.
We'll also travel back to 1926 to witness Richard Byrd's historic flight over the North Pole. These are more than just stories of combat. They are testaments to leadership, community, and the human spirit. Listen to Medal of Honor on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
All right, it's time to lighten the mood, and we may not always love the specific language or specific targets Donald Trump uses or targets he goes after, but we will carry something on long after Donald Trump has passed. The treatment of the media. Forever, Republicans were taught to treat the media as if they were a little biased but kind of misguided. Let's just be polite. Let's accept whatever communist framing they have, and we'll be polite. We have to answer the question, after all. But of course, that's a terrible way to treat your mortal enemy who lives and dies to destroy you every single day. You treat your mortal enemy as if he's your mortal enemy. And, well, sooner or later, these people are going to learn.
Mr. President, why wait for Congress to release the Epstein files? Why not just do it now?
You know, it's not the question that I mind, it's your attitude. I think you are a terrible reporter. It's the way you ask these questions. You start off with a man who's highly respected, asking him a horrible, insubordinate, and just a terrible question. And you could even ask that same exact question nicely. You're all psyched, or somebody psychs you over at ABC, they're gonna psych it. You're a terrible person and a terrible reporter. And ABC is your company, your crappy company, is one of the perpetrators. And I'll tell you something.
So why not just sign it now?
I think the license should be taken away from ABC because your news is so fake and it's so wrong.
Sir, yeah, is there something incriminating in the file, sir?
I'll see you tomorrow.
Why should you listen to Armstrong and Getty on Demand?
We're not boring. A lot of news is boring.
And tedious.
And depressing.
And makes you angry. You don't want to live your life like that.
Hey, I'm Jack Armstrong. He's Joe Getty.
We're Armstrong and Getty.
We try to bring you the truth.
And help you figure out this crazy modern world.
How about something about a comedic tone?
We have a winner.
Yes. Listen to Armstrong and Getty on demand on the iHeartRadio app,
Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
As America marks its 250th anniversary, we're looking back at 2.5 centuries of rebellion and liberty through the eyes of the heroes who defended it.
The whole thing about this country is freedom. If we're not careful, we could lose that.
On Medal of Honor, Stories of Courage, we bring you the defining moments of valor that went above and beyond the call of duty. Listen to Medal of Honor on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.